everybody. Thank you for tuning in to episode 192 of Press A to Listen. I am your host, Smitty Smit. Exhausted, tired from a great 4th of July. And joining me, as always, Pantless Steve.
I'm exhausted and tired.
From 4th of July or just from being a dad?
Yep. No, it's really just the second one.
Did you take her out to see the fireworks?
No. First of all, they didn't do them here because of all the rain and stuff, but then it didn't really rain, but she might still be too young, as loud as they are. So
what you're saying is your city hates freedom.
Sure.
Yeah, all right.
It's not completely inaccurate. Yeah, I mean.
Last year, we decided that we're done, you know, going into the city, air quotes there, city, to watch the fireworks, and instead I just head over and buy, like last year it was like $200 worth, this year it was more, and we have fireworks just right next door at my in-law's place. She's got a big field that we go and blow stuff up in, so, I enjoy that. It's way better. No crowds, no traffic. The only bad part this year was I got eaten alive. The mosquitoes were absolutely atrocious. It's so bad that I still feel like they're on me.
The only bad part is I only have 9 fingers now.
No. I'm pretty safe. I don't know if you know this about me, Steve, but I'm a giant pussy.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah. So I take precautions when I play with fireworks. That said, I taught my son how to hold a Roman candle and fire it in his hand. So that was fun.
Precautions.
Yes, precautions. Again, air quotes. But this is our first, you know, normal episode in a while. We've had E3, we've had you skipping out on episodes and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's me.
So we've got like 2.5 weeks of games to talk about, and I am not pulling punches. I have a shitload of stuff to talk about. Also, we've got some gamer tags. I think we'll do that this week instead of the Metacritic game. And I've got very minimal news that I brought with me, just a couple of quick things, because I have so much to talk about in terms of games. Do you want to kick us off, though?
Sure.
All right, let's talk some video games.
Do you want to talk about the disappointing stuff first?
Sure.
I've got some disappointing things.
Okay.
Since we last recorded, some things have come out that I had
hoped to be awesome and weren't.
I had been sitting on certain things that turned out to not be so good.
Are any of these disappointments mighty?
So, hang on. No. Well,
okay.
All right, let's talk about Mighty No. 9.
All right, let's do that.
I came into that game with no expectations, really.
I think you're lying.
I was never a huge Mega Man fan, right?
You've been waiting on that game for a year and a half.
Yeah, yep. I understand how Mega Man games work, and I get why people like them, but it's just never been something that I've got a fondness for, and I just never really played them, right? So I think going into this game, my expectations were not at the level that potentially everybody else's were.
Okay.
All that being said, like, it's just kind of meh. You know, like, I don't think it's the shit show that the internet has played that game up to be. It's fine. It works.
Wait, is the internet shitting all over this game?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The internet does not like this game one bit.
Really? Wow.
But I think a lot of that is people wanting Mega Man and not getting, you know, exactly Mega Man.
Let's see what it has on Metacritic.
No, that's probably a rough number.
Oh shit, 58.
Yeah, like it's not. Yeah, it's middle of the road. I guess that's probably accurate. It doesn't blow me away. It's hard in some points.
Let me interrupt you real quick. User review. Could have been a perfect successor to Mega Man series turned out to be short of the expectations we had. Score, 10. Fucking A.
So, yeah. So that pretty much sums up the internet.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, it's one of those things where you beat a boss, you take over their power. That power is particularly effective against a different boss. And so kind of figuring out where to start, you know, like which boss is the easiest with your basic kind of pea shooter gun, and then just kind of following the chain. They do not really hide kind of which boss is strong against which other bosses once you unlock or defeat a boss. Before you select a level, there's a thing that'll pop up that says, like, advice for each other, like, boss character.
Mm-hmm.
And in that advice, the boss that will do major damage to them just talks to you in it. So it's really just kind of scrolling through the levels and finding the one that has the advice button now available. Clicking it, making sure it's the right guy, and then you just jump into that level and, you know, use that person's ability to beat that boss. And then you just find out the new boss where his little advice column shows up, and then you just kind of go in that order. So it's not, there's no kind of guess and check into that as to like, all right, well, I got this guy, now let me try this ability on all these bosses, which is how I would assume the old Mega Mans went. You know, there's some predetermined kind of routes for a lot of those games now that say do them in this order. But I don't know, you know, it's super mediocre. And
super mediocre.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I've beaten the other 8 bosses. And I know that doesn't count as beating the game in these games because you have to go do a boss rush and fight the final whatever. And I don't know if I care enough to do that. I feel like I accomplished my goal by beating all 8 of the bosses.
Nope.
So I don't know.
You gotta get that mighty number 9.
You are mighty number 9.
I am?
If you played the game, you would be, yes. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's mighty number 9. I don't think it sucks, like a lot of the internet seems to think. But I also, again, like, I have no expectations going into it. So I was just in it to play that game, and it's okay.
Okay. And what's the retail? Is that 20?
30, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think it's 30. Disappointments. A game came out called Heart and Slash.
Okay.
This is a hack and slash, let's say, roguelike style game.
I think I almost bought this.
Don't.
All right.
It's such a cool idea, and it presents itself in a really cool way where you pick up a main weapon and then you can equip, you know, 2 alternate weapons, and that would be like hold the left or the right trigger, and then you can do moves with those weapons. So it's got some really neat chaining abilities. You know, if you can kind of get the right drops, because they are all random, it does have those roguelike elements to it. The camera control in this game is some of the worst that I've seen in recent memory. It's incredibly sensitive to, like, if you just tap the stick, like, up, you would almost be looking, like, straight down on your character. So it's a third-person game, but the camera moves so fast that it's almost kind of nauseating. Like, it's so uncomfortable to watch. And I had this game for a while before release, and they patched it a couple of days before, and I was like, oh, this has to fix that camera. Like, at least put a sensitivity slider or something in. You know, I'm sure there are people that'll enjoy playing it that way. They're crazy, but I'm sure they exist. But there's nothing there. And so I, like, kind of was like, all right, well, let me give this another shot. Maybe I was just tired that night or something. And I start playing it, and my wife's sitting next to me, and she looked at me and was just like, is it supposed to do that? Like, she thought, like, the game was broken because it just, the camera moves, it's, the speed of it is unreal, like, how fast it moves, and it makes it almost impossible to kind of fight any of the enemies. You also just kind of start super weak, which makes the first level or so an absolute chore to get through because the, like, enemy robots that you're fighting take so many hits to finally die. And if you leave a room and come back into it, they do respawn. So it's not even like you can clear a floor and then kind of do some exploration. I was super excited for the thought and idea of it, and the execution of it's just not there. And it's super disappointing because I think the game kind of has a really cool visual style to it. It's robots fighting robots in melee combat, and that is cool. But the camera control is so unnerving that I couldn't play it for longer than like 15 minutes. The wow. couple of times I tried, it made I don't get motion sick, but it got me almost to that point. I still have.
So is this a port?
I don't think so.
Huh.
I'm holding out. I haven't installed. I'm holding out hope that they get something in there. You know, if they're going to keep kind of patching this thing and work on it, because I do think it's a really cool idea, and I want this game to be exciting and good because I like roguelikes. I don't know if you know that or not.
I've heard that.
You kind of do too, but we'll get there. But yeah, it's just it was a disappointment. It was such a bummer to play that game. But I'm holding out hope that they can get that thing. Like it's.
Did you just pass out?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh. It doesn't seem like a super different... I'm playing with my headphone cord. I'll stop doing that.
It's a weird euphemism, but okay.
Yeah, well, you know. It doesn't seem like it would be too difficult of a patch, but obviously I'm not game designer or programmer.
Oh, that shit should be easy.
Yeah, so I have no idea. And then the other disappointing game, The Technomancer.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a game from Spiders, who
they did
previously
Mars Warlocks.
So this is in the same universe.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
And you have Technomancer abilities, obviously. So your character... So there are three, let's say, fighting stances or styles. And your character can do all of them, and it's just a matter of like changing your stance, right? So you've got your like dual wielding stance, which is like a dagger and a gun, and that's kind of your quick get in, get out type of strikes. You've got a what essentially boils down to like sword and shield. You start with a mace and a shield. And then you've got your, it's like a bow, like a pole. So a little bit more of a ranged melee combat. So you can flip between any of those three at any time, right? And then you can also use, like your Technomancer abilities. So when you start, you can shoot lightning out of your hands, which is, feels real good and is real cool.
You're a Jedi.
No. Trust me, no. Once the combat starts, you are not a Jedi. Or you can essentially electrify your weapons in your hands as well. And then you've got, you know, a Technomancer bar or that drains as you do these things. The longer you've got your weapons electrified, the faster that stuff drains, all that good stuff. So like on paper, I'm like, all right, this is cool. I'm into this. It's a loot kind of driven game. You know, with shitloads of menus, XP points everywhere. You can put them into, you know, each fighting stance has its own giant XP tree.
Yeah.
And then the Technomancer abilities themselves have your own XP tree. And
so
then
there's
you,
really no hybrid. It's you're going one way or another.
You eventually kind of have to, yeah, decide what path you're going to go down. Okay. And then I want to say there's also, like, the health tree, like, a separate menu of different level up or currencies that you can upgrade, like your health and your agility and all those types of things. And then loot's dropping, so you're constantly picking up new weapons. They could
loot,
be
you say?
Yeah, they could be for any of the fighting stances, so you never kind of know. There's a ton of different loot that can drop. So, like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And then you start to fight.
And you start to play.
And then you play it, and you're like, oh, man. So, like, the combat, you start off so, again, it's the same thing. Like, you start off so weak, and a lot of the classes have, like, disrupt abilities, right? Like, you can whenever your opponent attacks, if you do like a certain move, you can disrupt them and kind of stagger them for a little bit and get some hits in, right? That doesn't really work for you very well in the beginning, but in my experience, the enemy will just stagger you every time you try and do an attack. So I'm getting my ass just handed to me in the like first area with the first kind of set of bad guys. And I'm just like, well, all right. Maybe I'll just like farm some XP or something and level up and you know, I'll beat these guys, I'll farm a little bit. I'll get there and then I'll start to become powerful enough to... Because they're like little scrub dudes. Like, these are guys you should be beating in like two or three hits, it feels like. And they're just kicking your ass because their damage is so much higher than yours and they can like stagger you so much easier. So I'm sitting here, I'm like bashing through all different fight styles, running the same checkpoint over and over. I'm trying different moves. I'm trying to block them. I'm using my Technomancer abilities on them. No matter what I do, they're just beating my ass. And you've got an AI guy with you who's fighting, but he's completely worthless.
Of course.
And it's just like, I was just like, what am I missing? You know, I'm like, there's got to be something wrong here. Like, there's something I'm missing that other people are playing this game, because this game kind of got like hyped up, you know. Like, I saw some talk on the Twitters about this game, and I was like, okay, like I'm kind of excited to get into this as well.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it,
and I'm playing it, and I'm like, I've got to be missing something. So I lower the, I pull a Smitty, right? I lower the difficulty down as easy as it can go.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, these guys are just going to definitely get beaten like one or two hits now. My damage should be way, but nope, still kicking my ass repeatedly, unabashedly, just destroying me. And so it's just, I have to turn it off, kind of walk away, because I'm just frustrated, right? Like, it shouldn't be this difficult. Like, it feels like it's a boss fight every enemy you see. Like, they can kill you in, like, three or four hits, and you just have to chip away their damage forever. It's kind of like the Division. Think about that.
Okay.
They're damage sponges, but boy, they can kill you real quick.
Right.
Except you don't have anything ranged. You have to kind of get up in their face.
Oh, good.
You have that gun, but that thing's, it's such a piece of shit. Like, that class is built to be, you know, in and out quickly with their damage. So, the embargo lifts for this game. And people start talking. And I come to realize that I'm not alone. Like, this is kind of everybody's sentiments.
Really?
One friend of the show, Jake Baldino, perhaps you've heard of him.
Nope.
I had fuck a little, yeah, well, fuck him. But I had a little discussion with him, you know, and I told him, I was like, am I missing something or is this just not that good? And he responded, he was like, yeah, it's pretty bad. Like, I don't get what the hype or anything is about. So that's super sad. Because all that stuff we talked about in the beginning with loot, multiple stances, and skill trees, and, you know, a deep, in-depth RPG, and you're like, yes, okay. Like, this is something that we haven't really had in a while. And, you know, it's sadly, I still don't think we have it. Because this game is just, it's not there. Now, again, you know, I'm holding out hope. Like, let's see what happens to this game. Because this is another one of those games that I want to get excited about, because everything that it's kind of showing you up front is super exciting mechanic wise. But yeah, man, coming down and playing it, it's rough. There's your also your kind of typical like glitches and people warping into walls and stuff, but that's whatever. You know, I can get past that stuff. It wasn't game breaking.
Yeah,
it's not game breaking, right. Then I'm fine with that stuff. It's kind of funny sometimes, but the combat being as poor as it is and that being the core mechanic of the game, yeah. So I've set that one aside as well with my, like, I hope to return to you someday when you get patched up, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's one that's either going to be Games for Gold or on
and that's
a mega sale.
$60 game.
Oh, snap. Oh, it's retail,
that
right?
That is a full retail, disc copy, $60 full price game. And I, yeah, I have a hard time recommending anybody pay money to play that thing, so.
Hmm. Well, that sucks.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I mean, you were there when I started playing it. You could hear the disappointment in my...
Yeah, well, you started like, okay, so I was into this and this, and then like 10 minutes later, you're like, I think I'm just going to turn this off.
Yeah, and that's kind of... I went back, and I tried it again, and I came away like, yeah, I'm just going to turn this off for now. So that's a super bummer. But again, like, hopefully that stuff gets fixed. Alright, the rest of my stuff's kind of, I don't know, I can bang through a bunch of these. A game you've played, this is my pleasant surprise. We'll go from disappointments to pleasant surprise.
I know where we're going with this one.
I saw a game and I was like, oh, it's like $5. That looks kind of fun, like old school retro style. I was like, I'll pick this up and see what this is all about. And that game was Bard's Gold.
Yeah.
It's
$5.
Yeah, and it's a well spent $5.
It really is. It's fun.
So it is
hard as shit.
It's hard. It's a throwback to kind of Nintendo, Super Nintendo style games. It's got a tiny bit of randomness to it, it feels like, but not a ton, really.
Well, there's three game modes.
Yeah.
There's one that's classic, right? Retro, which is a little bit harder, and then full-on roguelike.
But even in the roguelike thing, the level layouts are what they are. You know, like they're not ever randomly generated. Yeah.
So I played it like twice and I was like, fuck this, I'm going to where there's checkpoints.
So it's essentially each level is a screen almost. Like obviously it's not just the one screen. Like you can kind of move through them. But the goal is to find the key in this level. It unlocks the door. And then you go through the door and move on to the next level.
And it's timed.
That is the base mechanic of the game. Yeah. Now there's a ton of stuff to do in these levels. There's enemies to kill, certain objects to destroy. There are secrets to find. And as you do all of this, you're unlocking gems. There are stores in the game where you can buy, damage buffs or weapon power ups.
Different items that do different things.
Yep. If you die, it's a one-hit death for you.
Yes.
If you die, you pick up back in that stage as long as you have lives left, but any items that you had are gone.
Yep.
So
if you buy a bunch of shit and you get hit as soon as you walk out of the shop, bye.
Yep.
You wasted your money.
And that sucks. So it's a matter of kind of getting through these levels and collecting gems, because at the end, when you officially run out of lives and die, you can is like a rogue legacy kind of thing. You can take your gems and put them into these abilities that are persistent through every run. So it's kind of a mixture of like, all right, I want to spend some gems in the store because I want to make myself more powerful and I can complete a couple more levels. But also I want to not spend all my gems because I'd like to put some of them into all of these things at the end of the level. And it's hard. Like even when you learn, I could probably play those first couple of levels with my eyes closed at this point because I've just gone through them so many times.
Yeah, you grind shit out in that game. Is that every roguelike?
Can be. Not really.
Because the other one we played, which we'll talk about in a minute, I've been grinding as well.
So that's any of the ones that have persistent stuff on them is like that. And it gets to a point where that game is not so much like surprise or figuring out kind of what to do because you know at one point, but it's a matter of execution. And man, that's a lot harder than it sounds because okay, there's going to be this thing here, and it acts in this behavior. But when I jump up here, this book is going to fly off of this bookcase and fly at me. And also, when I step on this ledge, a spike comes. And so,
right.
So you've got yourself all mentally prepared, all right, and you jump up, and you step on the ledge, and a spike comes, and you're like, oh, shit. So you jump out of the way to avoid the spike, and then instantly the book's in your face, and you've completely forgotten about it because you're so focused on the spike. I can't tell you how many times I've sat there, and I've planned out my entire move and go, all right, this is what will happen when I jump up. I need to do this and then this. And then you get up there, and it's just a matter of executing that, and just shit goes sideways, and you're just like,
yep.
Ugh. But, yep. Man, it's very rewarding, I think, when you do kind of complete what you're looking to do, or when you get through those levels untouched, or when you get like a 5,000 gem run, and you're just like, yeah, all right, that felt good. But yeah, it's for $5. It's totally worth checking out. It's hard. You know, you do have to kind of grind it out a little bit in the beginning with those early levels, just to get enough gems to kind of get some of those, you know, passive carryover things leveled up. There's hidden secrets in it. There's hidden gems. There's hidden rooms. There's a lot more to that game than I think it initially gives off, where you're just like, oh, I just got to jump and grab this key and go to the end. But as you kind of uncover certain things and dig a little deeper, it's a pretty thought out and complete game in there, with a lot of challenge and a lot of secrets and stuff to uncover. And I don't even think we've uncovered them all. Did you ever finish that patience room too?
The what?
The patience room or whatever.
The Tower of Patience.
Yeah. Did you ever finish the second one?
Yes.
I remember you were none too happy.
I did the third as well.
Oh, did you?
Maybe I didn't. But I mean, you told me about the game, you side scrolling, you know, platformer, roguelike, and I was out immediately.
Again, like, I don't think this is a roguelike. Like, I don't know.
I mean,
it has
kind of
a mode that you don't have lives, you have a health bar in, and kind of it's a one and done thing. Which actually, now I think about it, that mode might be nice, because you could take hits and not lose your gear, and you could really kind of get super strong in that, and never put that together. Huh. Okay. But I just, there's not enough randomness to that game for it to be kind of true roguelike.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like,
when it comes to roguelike, because you're way more versed in roguelikes than I am, but it feels like a roguelike in some aspects to me. And it's like you said, $5. So
yeah.
I said, fuck it, I'll buy. I was looking for something to buy. This came out before the Steam sale launched. So
it's normally $5. It's regular price $5.
Yeah.
So it's not even like that was a sale price. Like, you can buy this game.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, even if I didn't like it, I'm out $5. But I played it for, geez, 2-3 days nonstop. I'm not good at it, but I had a blast.
It's hard. It's very hard.
It really is. It really is. Decent music. The levels themselves, like you said, there's enough variation. There's little secrets that you find. You know, if you buy these magic glasses, they show you these little shimmering spots on every level. They have them. And if you shoot them, a gem will drop.
Don't give all the secrets away. It's fun to discover that stuff.
If you get all the secrets, a thing happens on most levels. And it's neat trying to...
It's a different thing each time, too.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It's the same thing each... Like, every level 1-2 is the same thing, but level 1-2 and level 1-3 have different things that happen, I should say.
Right, and it's, like you said, super interesting. It's really fun to try out new things. I mean, we were purchasing things in the shop, and, you know, I was asking you, what does this do? And you're like, I have no idea. So it was cool just to grab stuff and see what combinations work. It's fun.
The chakram's really good.
The chakram? Oh, chakra.
Chakra. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Chakram. Yeah, whatever. The disc thing you throw.
It's real good.
Right.
It's got good range.
And when you get powered up, that thing does some damage.
Yep.
It's really fun. What else did you play?
Another $5 game I played, Pac-Man 256.
Yeah, I saw some friends, people on my friends list playing.
It's a mobile game. It's a free-to-play mobile game that's kind of rotten with microtransaction stuff in it. So for $5, you kind of get rid of all that microtransaction stuff, so it's actually a pretty good deal. But it is a endless runner Pac-Man game. So your goal is to just eat pellets and go as far as you can. The board is different every time. It's constantly changing. The ghosts are in different places every time. You can bring 3 power-ups into it that are randomly placed on the board. And it's just, you know, it's a high-score chaser. It's got couch co-op with up to 4 players, which is a lot of fun. Me and my wife spent a ton of time playing this. Because it's just Pac-Man. You just, you know, left, right, up, down, and that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it makes the jump to, I think, console and controller super well. We've kind of in the past given these games shit that are free to play on phones, but charge on consoles. I think $5 is the right price, especially because it gets rid of all the shitty microtransaction stuff and the ads and all that disgusting stuff that's in a mobile app that you generally pay them $5 to make go away anyways. But this one has achievements, so that's cool. I like that game a lot.
There you go.
Yeah.
The last one I played, what was the one that where you banged against the wall for 5 seconds, you got an achievement? That's the one I played. DX?
What? Which?
It was on 360.
Oh, the Pac-Man? The Championship Edition DX one?
Was it? Yeah,
that's one. A good one. That's a crazy game, though, where shit's, like, getting wild, and there's only certain patterns that you do to eat the pellets, and yeah, that one's wild. This is very much more like your traditional Pac-Man, but you're constantly moving forward, and you can't kind of hang around too long because the behind you is slowly catching up to you, so if you just kind of dilly-dally, it will consume you and your run will be over. So they kind of keep pushing you forward. But it's fun, and it's $5. I think you can play that game snapped as well, so if you're watching a movie or something, you can snap that onto the sidebar and play it.
I've never snapped a game to play it.
The only ones that really do it are the like mobile games that transition over. So Threes did it. This game did it. I think there was one more, but I don't know what it was. But the ones that work on, you know, a longer, taller screen instead of widescreen. I played Resident Evil 5.
Oh, yeah. That came out, didn't it?
I still like Resident Evil 5 a lot.
I almost bought that.
You should.
Meh.
I played a lot of Resident Evil 5 on 360. A lot. And this is that game with all the DLC stuff that I've never actually played, so I'm kind of excited to get through that. I'm knocking out like a chapter or two a day or so. It took a while to kind of get back into those Resident Evil controls, with the aiming, and you have to stop moving to aim, and you know, it's shaky, but that's kind of part of the charm of Resident Evil games. But I'm kind of fully in the groove now and chipping my way through that. That game has some real frame rate issues when you unlock achievements, and it's weird. Like, it gets real framey when an achievement unlocks. But it's nice, because then you know when you've done something that unlocks an achievement, because the game just stops for a second. I played a little bit of Hawken.
Oh, yeah, I downloaded that. That's ready to go.
Free to play. Online, mech kind of multiplayer shooter. I hear mechs and I think kind of slow moving. But this game's got, these mechs they have a pretty good pace to them. There's also some, you know, some momentum that goes into it. Like if you kind of get moving in one direction, your speed will increase. You've got like hover jets that you can use for a short amount of time. You've got a little bit of a dash that you can use in any direction as a dodge. Played it the night it came out, had mostly successful matches. One of the ones that we got into, Bishop and I played, was some of the worst lag that I have seen in a while. But I saw, like, it was literally the next day they tweeted out, like, hey, there were some real bad servers, and we fixed that stuff. It was only one match out of, I'd say, like, 7 or 8 that we played that did that. Otherwise, that game ran perfectly fine. That game's a free-to-play-ass free-to-play game. Like,
pay to win?
It could be. So you can buy new mechs, and they each come with, like, their own, like, you have a right and a left kind of gun, basically, right? So they each have their own guns, and then there's abilities as well that appear to be different on every mech. And all of those things can also be upgraded. So you could farm some in-game currency and buy the mech you want, or you could just shell down some money and buy a fancy mech and upgrade all of its guns and everything. And so I don't know, you know, what that economy looks like or how much that comes into play. I've seen some people on the Reddit saying that that game is super pay to win.
Really?
But there's also people coming from the PC version, which has been out for a couple of years now, I believe. And so, you know, who really knows? There's also a ton of cosmetic stuff that you can buy. You can buy a little hula girl to put in the dashboard of your mech all that stuff. But that, I think, you can only use with the currency you buy with real money. So, no option for in-game currency on some of that stuff. Paint jobs, you know, all that cosmetic free-to-play stuff. But then you can also spend money to upgrade your guns and your abilities, which is potentially looked at as pay to win. You know, I don't know how much of an effect that stuff has, or if there's like the one mech that you just buy and insta win. But yeah,
which one's that? That's the one.
Yeah, right. How much do I have to spend? But yeah, the time playing, I thought it was fun. It played well. It moved at a nice pace. The levels are pretty big, and it's 6-on-6, so there can be some kind of downtime in those. If you get spawned in a weird place and are just kind of running to try and find the action. But it's totally worth checking out. It's free, so why not, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. And you get 100 points for the tutorial.
And you get 100 achievement points for the tutorial. It's like 5 minutes, so there you go. Hmm. Full Mojo Rampage.
Oh, shit,
Tell me about this.
So this is legit roguelike, right? I mean, you would know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's easier, okay. I think.
Yeah, you keep saying some. That. I don't know, Chapter 4 is a bitch.
Oh, I beat Chapter 4 by myself.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
So the first thing that this game does, roguelike, that most don't, is that it's 4-player co-op, online.
Yeah.
Which is nice, to be able to...
It is very nice.
Except when your friends are dicks and they steal your items.
Which is cool. The way that you can set it up so it's free-for-all item grab, which you don't do that because then you make enemies. So you set it on round robin, so when item drops, it will have like a certain colored ring around it telling you who it belongs to. But after a certain amount of time, that ring will go away and anybody can grab it. So what you do is, you
run off by yourself and just find all the items and wait for them their bubble to turn off so that you can pick them all up.
You could do, and don't act like you weren't doing it either. Bishop and I were playing with you one game. We were 10 minutes in. You had like 6 items and we had nothing.
We played one game where we were almost at the boss, and there's mojos, which are essentially like equipable stat boosts. Yep. And you can combine them if you find the right rooms, and they're just random drops throughout the level. And we got to like almost the end, and I'm like, I don't have a single mojo, and Smitty's sitting on like 8 of them.
No, I had a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So we all do it, but what's really fun is that when an item drops, if it's not for you, you can kick the thing around.
It's got a collision on it. So
yeah. So what'll happen is an item will drop for Steve. And Bishop and I will kick the thing around for 10 seconds until the ring goes away. Meanwhile, Steve's chasing it down. The ring goes away, and suddenly I pick it up. And then, for some reason, suddenly Steve's Xbox turns off. It's weird. It's really weird how that works.
I finished Quest 4, and you haven't. So it definitely scales difficulty dependent upon how many players there are. I wasn't sure if it did at first, but after going back and playing some of that stuff solo, it totally scales up, which makes sense because otherwise you'd just be
solo
walking through
easy.
It anyways. But I think this is the perfect introduction to somebody that wants to kind of get into roguelikes.
Because it definitely
has enough of the randomness throughout the runs. And you know, you and I have been on some run where you're just unstoppable. You know, if everything kind of goes in your favor, you just get these ridiculous runs. You know, we're sacrificing 10% of our health to get a bonus damage. And then, you know, in the next level, we find something that gives us a shit ton of health back or whatever it may be. And when everything goes in your favor, and that's with any roguelike style game, like, you just feel like the ultimate badass. Like, nothing can stop you. You're just mowing shit down.
Yep.
But the reason I say this is the perfect kind of beginner is because there's loadouts, but also there are persistent stat boosts that you can continually level yourself up with, so that you're never kind of just starting from scratch every time. So you can level, you get experience and you can level up, and when you level up, you can upgrade your health, your damage, your speed, and your fire rate. So each time you level up, you can upgrade one of those things. And that's persistent for the rest of the game. So you're never kind of starting at square one with base damage, base health, and building kind of the ultimate character build from there. The more you play, the more you'll level up, you're starting with triple the damage that you started with when the game started, and, you know, double the health, and whatever, however you spec your character. And then on top of that, there are these little pins that you can essentially equip,
cool.
Which are,
modifiers.
They
modify an aspect of the game.
Yeah, or your character. So right. You can equip a pin that gives you, you know, plus 5% health. And then you can upgrade that to give you plus 50% health. So then you're really kind of going in, you know, already beefed up and ready to go, which is fine, you know, and it makes that experience easier to get into, you know, like someone like you, if you didn't continually better your character outside of, you know, before every run, I don't know if you would have stuck with this as long as you have. If you were completely dependent upon the drops in a run to level your character, I don't know if you'd be into this. Because when RNG isn't in Smitty's favor, Smitty hates RNG a lot.
Yeah, there's some serious.
So you can essentially, and I've kind of set my pins up in a way where I've got a damage buff pin that I have equipped. And now I've also equipped another pin that does another like 20% to any damage buffs you get. So those two combined, my damage is now through the roof before I even start a map. I don't know what it starts at, but I think my character's like starting damage is like 130 or something now.
Oh damn,
yeah.
Dude!
Like so you can kind of break this game if you equip the right pins and.
Well, that on top of it, there's these they're gods that you meet as you go through the game that will offer you something. It could be something really good, like hey, we're gonna give you a mojo that's, you know, awesome. You know, it you get 5% of your health back every time you kill an enemy. Or it could be a risky maneuver, which one you and I tried was, hey, we're gonna give you 300% damage, but we're going to drop your fire rate. And I'm like, all right, let's give it a try. It can't be that bad. Dropped fire rate to 1 a second, which is slow as shit, because right now I'm starting at 8%.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's...
I think I'm at, like, 5, so...
Yeah. We did a shitload of damage, but you really only had one bullet to nail somebody with. And then, you know, as you go, you find additional bonuses to get that.
That becomes my favorite kind of part of roguelikes in general. It's like, all right, this is the hand I'm dealt. Now I need to spec in a way where, you know, I'm not looking for mojos that have damage buffs on them anymore because I don't really need it. Now I'm looking for like fire rate mojos, and I want all the fire rate I can get. Or you know, I sacrifice 10% of my health to get my speed up, you know. So now I'm like, well, now I need to spec in health to kind of get myself back up there. I don't need to spec in speed because I'm already super fast. And being able to just kind of do that stuff on the fly is the part of these games that I really appreciate. And it's different every single time. Like, you'll never have the same run twice. The other thing that... Well, go ahead.
Well, there's a limit to how much shit you can carry, too. Your mojos and your items, and you can get stuff that will increase both of them. So, early on, there's always this debate of, you know, do I drop this and pick this up? Or, you know, do I keep the health potion even though I'm at full health right now, or do I drop it, pick up this mojo that I don't need, but I'll be able to merge with this other mojo if I find the right thing. So it's a constant game of chance as you're playing through. And that's kind of what I like about it, is when you get a really good run and there's no question about what you should be doing, and then, you know, shit just falls into place and suddenly you're a god and you're only, you know, two levels in. It's really, really fun. This one was, what, $20?
$13, I think.
But that was on sale.
I think that's the regular price.
Oh, all right.
Hang on, I'll look it up. The okay. other thing that this one does to ease players in is you can click in the right stick and get a full description of what everything is. Whereas most roguelikes aren't that nice, and you have to pick something up and use it
figure it out.
So like I said, like it's a really good way to I'm logged in, it's not gonna tell me. Oh well. I think it's $13 regular. Yeah, it's a really good way to kind of ease your way into this. You know, you've now kind of tasted it a little bit, so I feel like I can start to broaden your horizons.
Yeah, I'm open to it.
I mean, I still think that Binding of Isaac is the coup de grace, it's a whole different level of craziness and difficulty there that could still potentially turn you off. I think my
Full Mojo Rampage is a beautiful game too, and the thing that turns me off with Isaac is the art style.
I guess. I don't know. At some point, you don't even see the art. You just see the enemy and know what you have to do to react and move on from there. But I get it. You know, it's just kind of a boring art style. But they've changed some of the things, all right? Now,
okay. No, I'm not saying it's bad. It just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of that art style at this point. And Bard's Gold has that, too. To a point, right? Unless I'm
it's 8-bit-ish.
So I mean, I'm not entirely pixelated. Opposed to it. I'm just tired of it. You know, again, we're not developers. It just feels lazy to me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like I don't know. I'm not going to make excuses. Like Isaac was originally developed in Flash, and that was the only art style that they could put in it that would make it, you know, small enough of a size to actually work. It has since moved on from Flash. It doesn't run in Flash anymore. Does anything run in Flash anymore? Is Flash dead?
E-Bomb's World?
Is E-Bomb's World Everybody. Still a thing? Does that...
I think it is. I've been there forever, but I know what I'm doing tonight.
E-Bomb. Yeah, no, I think that Full Mojo is a really good game. I super loved it, but it just made me want to play Isaac more, which is not a bad thing. E-Bomb's World is totally still a thing. And the featured video is Kate Upton in Zero Gravity. All right.
Oh, okay.
So I know what you're doing tonight.
I should. Yeah, you should.
Yeah, Full Mojo is great. Anything else that you want to talk about Full Mojo?
No.
I have one game left, and it's kind of impossible to talk about, but I have played and I finished Inside. This is from Playdead, the developers of Limbo. It's kind of picking up, not in a story sense, but in a gameplay sense. It's kind of picking up where Limbo left off, and they expand on it a lot and in numerous ways. You're still kind of just running to the right and solving a lot of these like physics-based puzzles as you go, but they do a lot of stuff mechanically that... It makes that a little bit more interesting. This game's super hard to talk about. I really liked Limbo a lot. I think this is a better game overall. I don't think it's a 10 out of 10 like the internet says it is. But I think it's very, 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 very good.
Okay.
The ending, it has an interesting story to it that ends in a kind of not very satisfying way. But there is a secret ending. And if you get that secret ending, that one is... I feel like the secret ending should have been the one they showed everybody. I get why it's not. But it kind of...
work for it?
You gotta work for it, and I think it pays off. You don't really... It's not very hard to find. I would say if you're going to play this game, like, just play through the game and get to the end, and then... you know, pull up a guide and look up how to get some collectibles in the secret ending. But, you know, experience everything on kind of your own way, because the stuff it throws at you could potentially be spoiled big time if you do look any of that stuff up. I think the game starts really strong. The middle portion of it is kind of where it loses a little bit of oomph for me. But the kind of final act of that game is incredibly awesome. There's some super impressive tech involved in what they do with your character.
What kind of game
is it? It's a puzzle platformer. So, and a lot of it's like, it's very much kind of like physics-based puzzles, you know? So I need to... There's also certain other things that you encounter in the game that will help you solve puzzles. It's a super hard game to talk about. I'm super into it. it's just
clearly
everything you could say about it would totally spoil like a certain part of it. And I think it's one of those, like, discovery is the best part of it. But yeah, the ending kind of had me, as I beat it last night, and the ending is one of those things that's kind of stuck with me all day today and just kind of been like lurking in my mind. And like any downtime, I've kind of been trying to suss it out. And nothing's really done that to me since BioShock Infinite's ending. So it's kind of a thinker. It's a make of it what you will type ending.
So it's deep?
It can be, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that game's super cool. $20 is kind of steep. It's a 4 to 5 hour experience. I mean, Limbo was $15 when it came out, and you know, for an extra $5, I think if you bid on Limbo at $15 and thought, man, that was great, I totally did it, then this game delivers all that and more for the extra $5 that it would cost to, you know, to get to the $20 for this. But I totally get, you know, kind of being hesitant at a $20 price tag. But it's one of those things where it might be hard to avoid spoilers if you wait for if you wait for a price drop. And it's a game that you should experience the kind of twists and turns that they do by yourself. You know, don't look this game up on Twitch. Don't watch anybody playing it, because you know, even just a minute or two could kind of give away something that happens that you're then just kind of waiting for. And that's a big bummer if you get to that point. But yeah, Inside's real cool. It's probably one of my favorite games this year, but it's not, as Phil Spencer said, my game of the year, but it's up there. it'll okay. definitely probably be in my top 10.
Really?
We'll see how everything plays out, but I don't know. I like the secret ending and how much it kind of made my brain work a little bit. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
I expected more. Alright, well, fucking, I guess an hour in. Almost an hour. Alright, I've got a bunch of games.
Oh, boy.
Well, some of them I just want to touch on and give my thoughts. Like Madden 16. Picked that
year
game
late.
A friend of a friend. Was gonna trade it into GameStop for like $6, and I said I'll give you 15.
Oh, you should have.
So I bought.
Should have just bought EA Access for 30 and had that game for free.
But that's 15 more.
Yeah, but you could also play hockey and Titanfall, Dragon Age,
which I already own.
NBA Live.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that, I was just thinking, you know what I should do to hurt
Rory
myself?
Rory McIlroy's PGA Tiger Woods goal.
I already own that as well. Yes, it's just not, yeah. But I really like Madden 16.
Madden 16's solid, man. It's a really good game.
The player movement is way better than in years past. I was not expecting.
Yeah, they've got some weight to them now.
Yeah, well, in the tackles, like, you know, I go to tackle a dude, and as he's going down, he kind of fights, and, you know, my middle linebacker will come and just fold the guy over the pile, and it's like, that looks brutal. It's great. I love it. So, yeah, Madden 16, I'm really impressed with that, and I won't be picking up 17 probably until this time next year. I'd rather buy them a year behind because they don't really update all that much. Simple as that. Do you remember In Between?
I've heard of that game. I've never played it.
Yeah. I know. I got you a code that ended up being used and then never got it replaced. Oops. But my code worked. So In Between is it's a puzzle platformer, but it uses gravity. So you start, you know, regular walking left to right, and as you flick the right thumbstick, let's say you flick it up, your character will... The gravity will switch to, you know, being at the bottom, you know, pulling your character down, to suddenly being on the ceiling, and your character will go up that way. And you go left and right and like that as well. And as you continue on, other little mechanics come into play where, you know, if you're walking left to right, there's a platform that will move right to left. And then when you flip, up or, you know, on the thumbstick, another platform will move down. And then eventually what will happen is there's a shadow that kind of acts like the ghosts in Mario, where if you're looking at it, it won't come at you. And it's a shadow that, goes right from the top of the screen to the bottom. So you have to stare at it. But unfortunately, there's another shadow on the other end of the screen. So you have to get through these levels. And basically, you're going back and forth trying to hold the shadow off while you work your way through, but if you get hit by anything, you're dead, and you start the level over again. Some of the really long levels will have checkpoints and things like that, but generally, you're starting at the beginning of the level every single time. This game is fucking hard. And I mean, I've played, maybe 8 or 10 levels. It got hard to the point where I was like, I need to put this down and step away for a long time because I can't play this game. And we all know I suck at games. Big deal. This is fucking difficult. And if I put in a lot of time, I could get significantly better at it than I've been. I mean, I've noticed myself getting better just the 4 or 5 times that I play a certain level. But every subsequent level after that is just harder than the last one, and it's infuriating because, just like in Rocket League, I know what I want to do, I can see it, but making myself transition from my brain to my thumbs, it just doesn't happen. And it's so frustrating, in a good way, in that if you're a puzzle game enthusiast, this is going to be right up your alley, because it is hard. I only played a little bit of Super Meat Boy, but I would say it's that level of difficulty. All right, I wouldn't say it's that fast paced. It's a little bit slower, but you have to kind of make yourself a little bit faster. I played 7 Days to Die on Xbox. I know Show VIPJ Ruble is picking up 7 Days to Die to play, because literally as we started the show, I got a message saying, hey, you want to play 7 Days to Die? So he's kind of waiting for me there. This game is probably up there on my disappointments for the year. And not because the game's bad. I knew what I was getting with the game. I own it on PC, and you know, I love it on PC. The problem is that the port over to Xbox, they did not do a very good job. It's clunky. It looks like garbage. it hitches. Like, you ever play those games where every 5 or 10 minutes there's a hitch?
Yep.
Of like a second and a half? It does that constantly.
Good.
Still, I'm playing, you know, I've got 20 hours into it because, Yeah, I played it for like a half hour. You were in my party, and immediately I was like, this game is fucking garbage. The UI is just trash. It kept the same UI from PC, and that does not work on console. Okay? You have a little cursor that you move around, you know, on the screen, and it just doesn't work. They need to come up with something better. On top of that, when you're out in the world and you're trying to kill zombies, the aiming mechanic is really bad. With a mouse and keyboard, sure, I can headshot all day long with a bow and arrow. You know, so it's, arrows have drop, and you have to aim. In this game on console, you have to basically wait till the zombie's almost on top of you before you can get a headshot, because you just can't aim the damage.
Does it feel like you're trying to control a mouse with a thumbstick?
Yeah, that's exactly what it
feels like. Because those are always the worst.
Yep.
It's just never feels good.
Exactly what it feels like. It almost feels like, the best way to explain it is binary aiming, where there's up and down, left and right, and there's no diagonal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it moves at like set intervals.
Yep. Yes.
I know exactly.
And that really, really, I mean, the content of the game I'm still in love with. You know, I happened to pull, because you can play the actual world that they make, which I've played, so I know where everything is. So I create random seeds, and it's just a randomly generated world. You pop in, you find stuff, you build things, you fight zombies, and it's called 7 Days to Die, because every 7 days there's I call it a blood moon, I don't know if that's what it is, but suddenly this huge horde of zombies will appear and just fucking wreck house, and they move across the world. So, you know, when the blood moon appears, there might not be zombies around you. But on day 9, suddenly you might be facing 40 or 30 zombies that come through, and just all the shit you've worked towards gets destroyed while you're trying to pick them off. So it's really neat that way. But the problem is, with that shitty aiming, I've had to turn the zombies down to minimal. On day 7, I wasn't prepared at all, because it took so long to establish a base. I just turned zombies off for that one day. I've turned them back on. I'm on day 9 now, I think. So by day 14, there'll be another horde. And by then, I'll have a pretty good handling. I found a house that's made of rock rather than wood, which is really easily breakable. And then set up a bunch of traps around the house. The house has a hot tub in the house. All right. And out behind the house, and it's got an in-ground pool, so I have a constant supply of water, and it's contaminated water, so then you boil it, and you have drinking water. I've killed a bunch of animals, so I have stuff to eat. I have metal, I've created a forge, you know, I've kind of built up the shelter so that it's defendable. On top of that, it's next to a cemetery, and the cemeteries are surrounded by iron bars and like rock pillars, which are just almost impossible to break through in a short amount of time. So I dug a tunnel underneath into this area, went and robbed a few graves to find some stuff.
Monster.
Yeah, I know, I'm terrible. Whatever, they don't need it. So I've been doing that, and I'm good to go. But yeah, I mean, compared to aiming with a mouse and keyboard with that controller, it's just painful. It's so frustrating. Yeah, I can't play the game the way it was intended. I have to play on, and I usually play games on easy mode, but games like this, I mean, this and isometric dungeon crawlers, that's my bread and butter. Those are the games I'm good at. And I can't really let myself shine, because I would just get steamrolled. It's a difficult game. You can set things, you know, you can set the options when you start the game every single time. So I can set it so that when you die, everything in your inventory gets deleted. When you die, you drop all your shit. Or when you die, you just drop the stuff that's on your tool belt. And you have to manage food and water and warmth and cold and, you know, stuff like that. I really enjoy the game. I'm waiting for a patch to fix, because the UI is just really, really bad. It's so bad. Other than that, I still enjoy the game. I played a game. I played a bunch of games on PC, but the one I want to talk about first. You ever played Total War?
No.
Okay. Do you know what it is? Okay, so it's an RTS, but it's more of a invasion type style. I played Total War back when it first came out, occasionally I go back to it. It's you know, you have a country, you build up stuff within the country, you hire mercenaries, and you attack other countries. That's kind of how it is. Total War Warhammer takes that, adds in a little bit of additional RTS settings, but it's set in the Warhammer universe. I don't know if you know this about me, Steve, but I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to tabletop games in particular. I've played Dungeons and Dragons and Seventh Sea and Legend of the Five Rings. I've played all kinds of shit. But Warhammer is by far my favorite universe because it's so gritty and fuck you. In games like Dungeons and Dragons, it's all about the experience and you're given things to help you and you get cool. And Warhammer, it's if you fuck with the bad guy and you're not ready, you're dead. Make a new character. And there's just no apologizing, and I love that. And that carries over to Total War Warhammer. To the point where I've had to restart my game a couple of times because shit's happening that I'm not ready for, and either I'm spread too thin or I haven't built myself up enough. It's really true to the roots of the Warhammer universe. I like playing as the dwarves just because they have the slayers. The slayers, Steve, are dwarves that have basically insulted their family name. And the only way to gain their honor back is to die in battle. And you can't just go out and die, because that's dishonorable. So they have to go out and find just the most badass thing they can find and fight it. And if they kill it, then essentially they failed. They have to go find something even more badass and keep doing that until they actually die a glorious death. So these dwarves, these slayers, are fucking insane. They just want to die, and they want to die fighting, and some of them are just badass. And they're in the game, and they're just as badass as you would expect. And because it's on PC, you can mod it.
I just lost you in all of your volume, so I wonder if that came through and it recorded or not, but we'll find out.
we'll be surprised together. We've had some audio issues over the last couple of weeks, but yeah, we'll keep going. But yeah, Warhammer Total War, or Total War War, it's Total Warhammer. That's what we're just going to call it from now on. Beautiful game, true to the universe, and it's that Total War gameplay that I fell in love with years and years and years ago. Really, really happy with that. You want to talk about some Dead Island?
Sure.
All right, so I'm really sick of remakes. Dead Island might be the exception. Dead Island Definitive, it came with Dead Island the Original, Riptide, and the 8-bit like side-scrolling game. I can't get that to work at all. It's still telling me the game is just pre-ordered, and I can't play it. So, whatever. Played all the way through Dead Island Definitive, and I've played probably 10 or 12 hours of Riptide. And I understand why they call it the Definitive Edition, because you start playing, and you're like, yep, this is definitely Dead Island. That is it. How far did you get? You didn't finish it, did you?
These versions or Dead Island in general?
Yeah, these ones. Yeah, no. I mean, we played the shit out of the
game. I have not finished them yet, no.
Okay. Man, you do have a backlog.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you remember.
Is Riptide still buggy?
I don't know that I've hit the point where I could check.
Could you take
that?
A step and it'd be raining, and then take a step backwards and it's sunny? That was my favorite bug in all of Riptide. That was the best.
I haven't experienced that yet at all, in fact. No, I only just got my boat.
Yeah, okay. So you're super early then, still.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Well, in the scheme of things, you've probably played for a long time, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you know how I play that fucking game. There's loot, so it's... Oof. But yeah, I really like that. I would really, really like to see a new Dead Island done right. I don't know that we're ever going to see
it. Do you think that game's dead?
I think it's done. I get it.
Wasn't even intentional.
I don't think it's going... I know, right? I don't think we're going to see it resurrect. I really don't. I don't see what they can do to further themselves in a positive way. You know? And I know Techland's working on a bunch of other shit right now. So, I don't know. Maybe in 5 or 6 years, towards the end of this console cycle, sure. Give it a try. But right now, I think this is as good as we're going to get. And it's still a good game. Still fun. You in fact, looked up some comparison videos. And it was pretty significant.
Yeah, the lighting is the biggest kind of thing. And it's something as simple as lighting has a huge impact on kind of everything in that game. So.
Yeah. Yep. I tried Goat Simulator. and you were absolutely right. Great game for an hour.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, well, I had to try out all kinds of stuff, try to get some achievements, which I didn't get many. My son, on the other hand, obsessed. Absolutely obsessed with this game. Because there's no dying, there's no objectives, it's sandbox. You're a goat, run around, do stuff. A couple of times, I had my wife in tears laughing at the dumb shit that this goat is doing. And you can make him... I just call it bang, but is it bleeding or whatever the fuck? Bleating?
Whatever oh.
it is. When they scream sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like the YouTube videos, that's great. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, it was free. So I downloaded it, tried it. Like I said, I mean, it's good for my kid. Gives him, you know, a little bit of time on the Xbox One where he's not just playing Minecraft. So it's fun, it's enjoyable, you know, but beyond like an hour, yeah, I don't see where the appeal is. I don't understand why people are so erect for that game. Yeah, it's the best way to describe it, I guess. Oh, shit, what else did I play? I played Prison Architect.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about a game with a UI that transitions well to console, Prison Architect. It still lacks an in-depth tutorial to kind of tell you what's going on. And that was my biggest complaint with the PC. And PC's gotten a little bit better. There's a little bit there for Prison Architect on Xbox One. But a lot of the times I'm still lost. And I prefer the sandbox mode. I haven't really done any of the scenarios or the story or whatever they have included. But the UI is really well done, and it transitions to the controller nicely. Because I do a lot with just squares and rectangles, like you would with a prison. So it works well. And I mean, it's just one of those kinds of games that's designed specifically to do that. And it does it well. I mean, if you played it on PC, there's probably not much reason to grab it on console. But if you don't own a PC or you don't do PC gaming and you've heard about this game, you're into the simulation type stuff, and it's got some humor, both just blatantly funny and some morbid, dark humor as well. This is the game for you. It's out now. It's, what, $30?
I don't...
$20? It's early access.
Is it? They have disc versions of this game out, I think.
Oh, no, you're right. It's been early access.
I think it's actually out now, right? Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I almost bought it a while back. Glad I didn't, because they sent me a code. I got to play more of it. I've just, over the last couple of weeks with the Steam sale, and now we've got these other sales going on, I've just been grabbing everything that I can. I got a code for Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 2. I think we talked about the first one last December. And I have to say they have made some significant strides over the first one. The first one played really poorly. And isometric dungeon crawler, that's my jam. So, of course, I played the shit out of number one. Max level and all that jazz. Starting up number two, I imported my character. And I don't know what the hell happened. But it was totally fucked. I go to a menu and the whole game would freeze up. I don't know if it's because I had last game items in there that it was trying to read, but it was just a nightmare. So I just started a new character on veteran difficulty, which automatically starts you at level 30. And I've beat the story once, and now I'm on endless story mode and running the scenarios and things like that. The game runs significantly better than the first, but still has some glaring issues. First off, the load times are a fucking nightmare. The load times are awful. If you've played Diablo recently, this is going to drive you up a wall. Second, the frame rate has tendency to drop out at certain points. The first time it happened to me was today, when I, right in the last act, as I was starting to finish up the game, I came upon a dude who has an ability to basically make a mirror image of himself, and then he and the mirror image do a frost mine, which creates, you know, a frost effect on the ground, which slows it down. But the problem is, he bugged out, so his mirror images were making mirror images of themselves.
Awesome.
I was at less than one frame per second for like 15 minutes, just fighting these fucking guys. And I ripped them apart. I got a bunch of XP, a bunch of good items. Then I let myself die, came back to the same area, and he was dead. So, it's run hit or miss. It's mostly when there's a bunch of enemies and a bunch of effects on. I wish they had turned off the weather effects, because that's one of the things that kills this. It's like they didn't customize it for the lack of power on the console at all. I don't see them bringing Van Helsing 3 to console. It just will not be able to.
I wouldn't have thought that they would have brought 2 over after the debacle that 1 was. But here it is.
And I think 1 was free, 2 is $15, and I think that's priced well. So I think, you know, overall, I think what they did was a good thing, because you're aware of Van Helsing now. This one runs better. I mean, we'll see what... There's no way they can bring 3. There just isn't. I can't even run 3 on my PC. You know, and I don't have the best computer in the world, but it's better than my Xbox. You know, so... remember Deadlight?
I do.
Yeah, I played some Deadlight Director's Cut.
I did.
Did you? What'd you think of
this? It's Deadlight.
It is Deadlight. I'm still not
a fan. I like Deadlight.
Yep. I don't like the control scheme. I don't know. It feels you got to stop, gather yourself, and then make your move. You know, it doesn't feel smooth. And those are all the same complaints I had during the first one, which we talked about on the show. Jesus, year and a half.
It's been longer than that, man. That was some of arcade stuff.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God, we've been doing this show too long.
Yes. Yes.
All right, and then the final game before I talk about some PC stuff, This War of Mine.
PC stuff.
Yeah, you were right about This War.
I told you this game you'd like.
It's a really good game. Really hard game. I'm having a hard time, not causing my survivors to plunge into depression and kill themselves.
I'm pretty good at recommending games.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this game called Destiny. So in Destiny, you can pick one of three.
You
can pick one of three different classes.
No. All right, we're going to cut you off now. I was too tired to argue, but I got a second win. So This War of Mine, again, I think I would rather play this on mobile. But even on console, it plays okay. It's not as fast as it would be on PC. And I think it suffers from... what was that early access game where you're a survivor in like an underground bunker?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but
Yeah, that plays significantly better on PC as well, just because you can't move the cursor around to do stuff as fast as you should be. Thankfully, with This War of Mine, when you're back at your base, you can kind of take your time and do shit. I mean, to an extent, not just sit around and fuck off all day, because there is a timer. But it handles well enough so that it feels like it's a good port. You know, ultimately, I still think PC or even mobile would be the better way to go. I paid, I think, $12, $15 for that game. It's originally $30, I think, and that's a little overpriced on console. Steam sale happened, and I picked up a bunch of games. I'm not going to talk about them all, but there's a couple I need to mention. Craft the World. I've had this in my wish list for, 6 or 7 months now. It's kind of a cross between Minecraft and Terraria. Finally got it on Steam, and it is every ounce of fun that I thought it would be. You control a whole bunch of dwarves that are making this, you know, underground complex, and you send them off to, some of them mine, some of them, you know, chop down trees, you gotta create doors, and then every now and again you have to fight off zombies and monsters and skeletons.
Oh my.
And shit like that. Yeah, right? And, the further down you dig in the world, the more crazy shit that you discover. You have to set lights along the way. As you get XP, you have to feed the dwarves, you have to equip them with items, both for, crafting, and for defense, or mining, or chopping trees, things like that. It's really, really cool. Top to bottom, it hits every aspect of crafting that I love, but it sprinkles in enough combat so that it kind of takes you away from what's going on. You get magic spells that you can use that kind of affect all of the dwarves in your complex, and as you level up, you earn more. So you start with one, and then every level you get another dwarf, and I think I'm at 9 or 10 right now. And you give them a bunch of commands, and you know, let them do their own thing. You just kind of sit back and, you know, try to manage them best of your abilities. I had a few die on me before I realized what I was doing. So that was it's been really, really. I made like $4 or $5 for it, and I mean, I've gotten my money's worth already. Victor Vran. Remember that game?
It's a Van Helsing game, isn't it?
It really is. Isometric Dungeon Crawler. This game I can see coming to console, because playing it on PC, I am surprised at how beautiful it looks and how smooth it plays on my PC. Which tells me that if they were to port it, the team behind it knows their shit, and it would play wonderfully on console, and I'm hoping to God it comes to console, because this game... I really liked Van Helsing on PC. Victor Vran is like a couple of levels above that. It's in between Van Helsing and Diablo, I would say. It's really, really well done. Beautiful game. And it plays exactly like you'd want an isometric dungeon crawler to play. But it sprinkles in this other stuff. There's challenges to do on every single level. There's secrets to find and the way it's set up, you earn stars for completing certain challenges, and some of the challenges are hard as shit. You can turn different modifiers on, so you know enemies have 20% more health and do 20% more damage, but you get 10% more gold and 5% more magic finds, stuff like that. And you can turn on like up to 5 of them at a time, and it makes the game just unbelievably hard. And these games I actually play on the hardest difficulty, because that's where the best loot drops, and I'm a loot whore. Steve, you're an XCOM fan, so you would like Hard West.
I don't know if I'm an XCOM fan. Well, I don't know. I don't hate those games.
Yeah. Hard West is... imagine XCOM set in the Wild West with supernatural shit involved as well. Like, you can make a deal with the devil.
None of that makes any sense. You know, and
what do you mean?
Wild West and Supernatural.
Oh, yeah, they go hand in hand.
All right, well, okay.
You just don't want to argue. Now, there's a lot of... I mean, think Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. You get Wild West, but there's a lot of that Supernatural shit sprinkled in. It's very well done. You travel around the map. I wouldn't say it's as deep as XCOM is, but there's different story arcs that you follow, and you go through different things, and you can equip people with different items and different weapons, and you know, so there's a lady that I recently found. I gave her a sniper rifle and a shotgun. So if anybody gets up close, she wrecks them. Otherwise, she sits back and just picks them off from a distance, and they can't hit her because she's so far away. And, you know, everybody has abilities, and you can sneak, and there's an ability where you can make somebody essentially stick them up, and you can hold them hostage while your other dudes go and do stuff. Super interesting, super XCOM-y. another game that I really like to see come to console. And, you know, rather than talk about these other ones, I think I have talked enough. X-Commy. X-Commy. Right,
oh,
right.
Man.
Like McCarthyism? X-Commy? Yeah? Don't put thinking man
jokes in.
I'm sorry. I should just stick to dick
jokes. Now we're talking.
All right. what came out this week?
I didn't pull the list of stuff that we missed, but I can tell you that coming out this week, Carmageddon Max Damage, full retail, downloadable.
Dan Amrick.
And a game called Dex comes out on Friday. Dex actually looks kind of cool. Like a steampunk sci-fi combination 2D action game. I requested a code, but I haven't heard back, so maybe we won't.
What was the name of that?
Dex.
Oh, yes. I saw that today.
So maybe we'll talk about that next week. Who knows? And that's it. Well, and then who knows what kind of random bullshit will just hit the store tomorrow. But
yeah.
Or whenever you're listening to it.
There needs to be a game just called Random Bullshit.
Some of them should be. And then a whole bunch of shit came out. All that stuff we just talked about came out between last show and this show. I don't have that list pulled up. That's too many things to talk about.
Awesome. Let's just bust into our gamer tag.
Yeah, I don't have a gamer tag. No.
You don't?
All right, hang on.
Oh. Did we already do the one we got from Earn?
I don't know.
It's listed on here. Dank Pop.
No? I don't think
so. No? Okay. All right, so that show Nemesis Earn sent that in.
Show Nemesis? That's good. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think I've done this one yet, but Prepaid Swag.
Oh, that's good.
Prepaid Swag. Good. Yeah. It was a tie between that one or Liquor, like L-I-Q, Liquor Box.
Hang on, I'm looking through my recent play. I'll pull you one. Ready?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we haven't played much Overwatch lately.
Yeah, I might not have one.
Yeah. I can give you one of mine.
Hit us with one more.
Hit you with one more. Jeez, now it's got to be a good one. How about Mexican Ewoks? Huh? A little Star Wars reference? No?
I'm looking through my list. There's nothing on here. Oh, this is sad. Usually there's at least one good poll in your recent gamers.
I've been playing a lot of Rocket League lately, too, so... You know? How about Arm the Homeless?
that's pretty good.
Glad you think so. I'm using up all my good ones.
An Asian feminist? I've got that one.
Yeah, all right, there we go. That's that chick from Reddit, right?
Not getting into that. Nope. This is a bad rabbit hole. Come on. I'm not going to.
Women don't listen to our show.
Nope.
Not anymore, anyway. Oh, shit. I've got a few on here that yeah, we'll save some of these. I don't want to rattle off all the good ones on. Yeah.
What's left? News?
What else? I've only brought a couple of just because we've talked so much.
I don't have very much either.
The Ultimate Game Sales.
I was gonna say there's two big ones, so.
All right, I'll let you do the two big ones. You're used to
always.
Big ones, right?
That's all I know. Talk about the Ultimate Game Sale. Right. I don't think it's very ultimate.
I don't either. There's only a couple of things that I'm excited for. One is the Shadow of Mordor Season Pass, which, I mean, that game's a few years old, so, you know, getting excited about that, like you just did, makes people laugh. Rise.
The legendary edition of Rise is $9 and some change, and that's...
Yeah, Shadow of Mordor, the full everything, $9. Yeah, so pick that up. When you're scrolling through and you see, like, RBI Baseball. No, I'm fucking... All right.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that Mega Baseball or whatever would be...
Super Mega Baseball.
It's on sale on PlayStation this week for, like, $8 or something.
Really? Oh, that's such a good game.
And so, like, Dark Souls 3 is kind of the game that I've been shopping right now. Like, I really want to play that game, but I'm probably going to hate myself for it, so I'm trying to find it at the right price, and
yeah,
it's 45, and I'm like, that's a good price, but I could still do better. So I'm going to kind of keep holding off. Yeah, I don't think there's anything in there I'm going to pick up.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is... And I was telling you, I want to see, like, 75 to 85% off, and it's never going to happen.
So, some of the stuff on there, like the PlayStation sale that they do, like, every month or so, gets to those numbers. And I don't know, you know, if they're setting those numbers, or they're letting these publishers set those numbers, or what it may be. They're generally indie stuff, but... You know, you see 75%, 80% off on some of their stuff. So hopefully they're kind of paving the way that can be successful on consoles to do those kind of sales. But we'll see.
AC Syndicate is on sale, Gold Edition. $36, down from $90. It's a hell of a deal.
Rise Legendary Edition for $9.90 is the game to buy. Just you won't be able to hear this because this will go up after the sale's over, but that's the game you should Bioshock Collection announced. It's real.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited. Fuck everybody in there hating remakes. We had a long discussion about this, but I don't think they've put out good AAA games on these consoles, really. So why not play the good ones from the last console instead? It's all three games. All the DLC, except for the multiplayer stuff in Bioshock 2, that won't be in here. $60, September, oh, I wrote 16th, but I think it's September 13th.
Well, alright. LiveLock is releasing in August.
That's the Alienation game, right?
Yeah, basically, yep. Three-player, you know, top-down, twin-stick shooter, and there's actually, I think it's four-player.
When are you getting us codes?
I think that's what it is. I will have us codes ASAP. No, I will. I've already been told I will get the codes. I just have to email the guy.
In news that a lot of people care about, but I sure don't, Red Dead Redemption, backwards compatible, Friday. This Friday.
Yeah. That's huge. I just saw that on Reddit. Thanks.
It's a bad game.
Shut the fuck up. Man, you've never offended me on this show until that. What a dick thing to say.
It's not a bad game.
I hope you shit yourself at work
tomorrow. I almost
did
today. It's.
I know, it's an outrageous.
Yeah, it's not a bad game, it's just not a very good game. What else you got?
What the fuck? I'm done.
Batman Arkham Collection, delayed forever, probably. That game,
really?
Man, I don't know what's happening over at WB and with this Batman stuff, but yeah, that game got delayed with no date. They said, hey, everything's broken, so we'll fix it, maybe?
Wow, we'll fix it, question mark.
That's it, that's all I got now.
Yep. All right, that's it, awesome. Well, I think we've been rambling on enough, approaching an hour and a half here, so... You got anything to add before we wrap this bitch up?
That's insensitive.
Sorry. You want to go play Rocket League?
I don't know.
Alright, Rocket League did it. Alright, we will see everybody in a week. Hopefully this goes up on Wednesday. I have the day off. And Steve just reminded me, I'm old, I don't want to do stuff. Alright, everybody. See you in a week. Thanks for tuning in.